Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 412. The instructions, please. Trust you folks are doing really well. Having a great week. Appreciate those of you who reached out to me this past week, especially 10-year-old Tom. Hey, you keep doing it, Tom. Love the conversation. I know you're going to go far no matter what you actually end up doing. I just love the simple conversation. So thank you so much. Hey, when it comes to conversation, a couple things. So I am still using Adobe Podcasts to record these, and they have upped their game when it comes to the transcript, which you can find on the podcast blog post on my website. You can also find that transcript on Spotify. Spotify has a little bit better transcript. I know I'm a challenge for these guys to figure out how to take all that I say and put it into actual words so it means something to you, but keep in mind they're working on it. And while you're at Spotify getting that transcript, the comments are there, and Spotify has created a app for podcasters that when you make a comment, it allows us to have a two-way conversation. So far, nobody's taken up the opportunity yet, but I would love to have a conversation with you. So head to the Spotify, hit the comments. You got them? Let's talk. I want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. They've got lots going on. You know, the main thing is that I want you to know is that they're going to save you money. Not only in their bottom line price, but after you check out, you're going to get that 5% back if you mention Moose. That's me. Get the Moose discount. And I would love to see that money in your pocket so you have more time to go out to the places you want to go and shoot and share those memories. That's what Bedford's is all about. They got the gear. They've got the advice. They got the savings. They got the Moose discount. All they need is you. So head to Bedford's, tell them I sent you, have a great time, and thank them for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Well, getting into this week's episode, the instructions, please. To be honest with you, I've got a number of threads that have been going through my head and trying to get them all so they make sense to you. Of course, that's always my challenge, right? No matter what I do, whether it's a photograph or the written word, or in this case, the spoken word. The bottom line is try to help you move your photography forward. Now, instructions. They are, we have a wildfire that is, as the crow flies, about 8 miles from the house. We're not in any threat or danger, and they jumped on it, and it really just in hours went to 1,000 acres, but they have really just, God bless those wildfighters out there who are just, it's 130 guys on the line and aircraft in the skies. With all that said, I was watching the fire and, to be honest with you, looking for any kind of photographic ops of the planes in action. And there were none. So I was watching people. And the sheriff has this yellow tape up, right? It's the clearest form of instructions. And it says, do not cross. Because on the other side, you've got the people battling the fire, the command posts, and keeping people and stuff safe. And here's this guy. I guess it didn't mean to him. And he just walked right over the line and with his dog. He didn't get in the way. But when somebody said, you can't be here, he finally got the ideas. I'm like, what more instructions do you want? You've got shopping carts holding up this yellow line that says, do not cross. And the guy was living to the instructions. So that got me thinking. Instructions. I come from a family, and I'll be honest. When we got models, we loved to build models. And the one things we didn't do was we didn't read the instructions. We saw the pictures and just went at it. And then when things went caca, and we were like, oh, And then we might go back and read instructions and realize the step we missed, the part we didn't put in, or how we put it in backwards. So that, you know, reading instructions, that was something that was made fun of a lot of times, or was a problem some of the time as I grew up. And that probably is what made me such an instructionaholic. I mean, you head to the website. And by the way, if you're looking for camera settings, so one place that is going to have the up-to-date stuff would be when you search on the website, camera settings, you'll see a page that comes up that says camera settings. Now, I know there's settings in like my gear locker. I get old, I'm feeble. Sometimes I forget to update those links when I update the links, but the one page is always going to have it. Well, anyway, back to instructions. I have another friend who, he really bemoans the fact that Nikon does not put the entire instruction book in the boxes anymore. You have to go online and get a PDF, and he doesn't like reading on his computer. So for my first thing is, well, you're shooting with a computer. What's the problem? Because that's what our cameras are. And then he'll bemoan some more. I'm like, okay, so we've gone through the instructions. You've read them, yet you're ignoring them. So one, why are you complaining in what form you're getting the instruction? And two, you're ignoring them. And I see all sorts of different forms of ignoring the instruction book. And yes, I'll be the first one to admit that instructions, whether it's for a camera, a computer, a microwave, shop tool, or snores, right? And some of them are the type so small, I have to get a magnifying glass out. So they don't really make it intuitive or fun to learn what you've just spent time and money on. I get it. I understand that. But on the flip side, we did get that microwave or shop tool or camera, and we have designs for it. We want to do something with it. So you got to have the instructions, please. But what's, you know, the deal? And I got to be honest with you, what's the deal when people go out with cameras, and the people are really smart. I mean, these people are really smart. They have gone through their particular jobs where they work. They have, most of them that I'm so fortunate to shoot with have climbed as far up as they want. So that takes, you know, not only, you know, brains, but also takes persistence and some passion. And yet they get out of the camera and it's like, what button do I push? What does that dial do? And instantly it's the camera's fault for this, that, or the other. And the instruction book, okay? The instructions. And this is not new. I've talked about this more than once on the podcast. But I have a new revelation that has kind of come to me that I think explains some of this. Because I bet if I was a fly on the wall and I watched photographers when there's nobody around, you probably don't go screaming through settings or through the instruction book or both when you're out shooting. But as soon as you have one or more person with you, then comes the question, what setting are you using? And then maybe the debate about how it's supposed to be done because the instruction book. All at and sacrificing the photograph at hand. I've seen it so many times. I saw it in the days of film. I've seen it now with digital. I've watched folks at the computer getting instructions and jumping ahead, and we all know in Photoshop, you miss one step in a recipe, one little click on this, that, or the other, and you're in Photoshop hell. Why do we do that? Here's my theory. It's because we're social critters. We like to talk. We like to debate. We like to compare. that is a very much a photographic process. And if, and let's be honest, you go out shooting, if you don't talk about settings or instructions, that forces photographers to talk on a topic they really are uncomfortable with. And that is the emotions and the passions and the incredible experience that's in before us. That's where we start choking up. And here's the thing, and it all started to make sense with me, is that that's why so many photographers have problems with that photograph. Emotions and passions, there is no instructions for those. You can't download a PDF. It's got to come from inside of you. And getting from inside of you to that click, and then from your click to others, that's when we really take the risk of getting our feelings hurt. So avoiding that risk, it's only natural that what? We're going to talk about camera settings, instruction manuals. We're going to what? What do we most people do when they don't want to, you know, talk about their emotions? They deflect. They deflect. And sometimes it takes a long time, for me, decades, to also understand some of these things. So then how can we get past that deflection? Well, I've tried for my whole career, because a lot of the first big half of it, I was rewriting instruction books to make them clear to help people use their cameras. And I was getting very frustrated, sometimes still do, where, you know, it's either on or off. You know, this particular thing, it's on or off. And if it's not on, it's off. If it's not off, it's on. But that simple, sometimes people just don't get even the most simple thing, an on and off switch. Yet, why? Well, if that moment is happening and it's transcending, it's there are times, for example, it's a couple days ago now, the morning we were leaving Monument Valley, and we had an absolutely just a phenomenal week. It was brilliant, and it just kept getting more so. It just kept compounding on it. It wasn't just like one great moment. The next one was better than the last one. And the morning that we were leaving, oh man! So we're at the view. It's your room is of Monument Valley. You have a balcony, and you're looking out. Make sure you check my shooting report out. That will be posted later today. But you're looking out, and we had this another big giant rain. But this time the dew point was so low that you literally couldn't see 5 feet past our balcony for a while. The entire Monument Valley was socked in with fog. And then it lifted and it swirled and it danced and it ran around the buttes and the mesas. And oh my gosh, it was just phenomenal. But I was there on the balcony by myself. And to share that experience, I started texting with the other folks there on with me. And at first, didn't get much. So then I text my settings. Then the conversation got going. And once that conversation got going, then we got into the emotions of it all, of wow. You know, we had, you know, just how the whole, which is what I just said, how the week kept building up. Getting past the nuts and bolts to what's really important, and that is telling the story as we feel it, and telling that story we feel visually, man, that is really difficult. There is, and I did a search, there is no written material out there on the web or on the bookshelf. There are instructions how to take your feelings and put them into a photograph. I'm guilty. I haven't done that either. I have not written that down. It's how do we do that? And that is the overall problem with this whole scenario. We have that safety net, the instruction book, but it's confusing. Why is it confusing? Well, in part because it doesn't talk about how to take your emotions and put it into a photograph. It doesn't say, when you have this crappy kind of light, do this. When you have this great light, do that. The instruction manual for your camera doesn't talk anything about that. You are the one that has to take all that in and then make it yours. And that is really a challenge. It is a challenge for myself. It always has been since I first started building models when I was a little kid. It's still there today. And that is the challenge that we have to kind of figure out how for each one of us, we can move past it. And that is where, you know, you got to say the instructions, please. You folks have another phenomenal week. We are about to head into September. That means fall. It's going to be a great one, folks. You take care and remember to make every click your story.